Let's go on a trip.
Let's go on a trip.
Yeah, baby.
It's not too bad. What was the question again?
Okay, let's go. I'm Angela Caterns.
I'm Ian Rogerson.
And welcome to Suddenly Senior. This is a podcast series for those of us who've reached a certain age in life.
That's right. You can join if you're not our age, but it'll be a lot more fun if you are.
So strap yourselves in, check your blood pressure, light your spliff.
Pour yourself a small bevy and let's go. Let's go. Doug Mulray was the voice, really. If you thought about...
Can you understand it?
See, we're talking with Doug Mulray, who was the voice of 80s FM radio. If you thought about 80s FM radio in Sydney, it was this man, Doug Mulray. And, of course, he had TV shows, a little bit of Beauty and the Beast, if I remember correctly.
Oh, yeah, only because I was promoting my online business.
A raconteur, a bon vivant, a lovely man. We're honoured to have him here in the studio. Lovely to have you here.
Thank you very much.
Lovely to be here.
Lovely of you to come in.
Lovely to be anywhere,
Dougie.
Really.
Thank you, Doug.
That's this program. You actually have a title for it. It's called
Suddenly Senior. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I'm assuming you are a senior. We're calling anyone who's 60 plus
look at this
a senior.
Look at these bruises that form if I brush past something. Look at the hair loss. Look at the tendency to obesity. My teeth, they're not quite white. I mean, it's
they're flags,
you look well, though,
they?
Despite all of that, you do look very, very well.
Do I?
You do.
Well, I've been awful sick.
Do you want to talk about that?
Well, do you want to sit next to me? I mean, really, coughing and poo.
Well, really? You brought drugs in with you, but not the fun ones.
Not the sort I used to bring into the studio, damn it. Back in the days when that was a
not
fun
loud.
Thing to do. No, this is lozenges and, you know, a little puffer.
Yeah.
Suddenly senior. Who knows? Every trip to the doctor used to be someone you went to if a bone broke so badly that a piece of it stuck through your flesh and you were dragging your leg behind you. Then you would go. Because your mother would probably say, oh, I'll be all right in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, but put a bit of araldite on there.
Araldite.
But now it's the fear, isn't it? It's the fear.
And then once you're on the treadmill, of course, they get you in there. They say, I'm going to send you for a test. I said, but, you know, the blood looks right. She said, yes, but look at you. You are old and you're fat. I just did some tests yesterday.
Oh, you did do some tests?
Yeah, yeah, I had one.
This is what we've always been scared of with this program. It would just be old people sitting around talking about their ailments.
Right, well, yeah.
Good, I'm glad I could be here then.
Glad he could oblige.
Yeah, but I haven't got the results yet, which is why I'm cheery.
Oh, good. That's good.
If you
that's
got
good.
Me tomorrow afternoon, God.
You never know what
I could have had a little cloud over my head.
Now, Dougie.
Darling.
You retired from broadcasting 20 years ago.
Next to Angela Caterns.
She's magnificent.
One of the many people that Qantas fucked over, really.
Yeah, wasn't that a bad
You were the only reason I was flying Qantas in the end.
For the announcement or the in-flight
channel?
The
announcement.
Oh, the announcement. The only sentence in the English language to begin with, subtly. Oh. Subtly, every aircraft is different.
Oh, God. You see, already I'm strapping in.
I remember an old Shelley Berman sketch. Shelley Berman, Jewish comedian, New York, you know? He said, if everybody brings their voice down, way down, stop talking, you restrict your breathing, you will become aware of air conditioning. So, indirectly, this is an insult to you.
No, I wanted to ask you this. So you retired like 20 years ago. Was that always the plan?
Got
ahead
of
the reach
trend.
The top of your game and then give it all away and go sailing? Or was there a catalyst?
I was pretty keen to get out. In fact, you know, they did a 60 Minutes on me years ago. I used to think that was a good thing, you know. But I'm pretty much living what I said I would do.
Was your plan all along?
Never did it for the money. No. I always did it because it was a joy to do.
Yeah.
And I got to a point where it wasn't a joy to do anymore. I'm never much like being a public person, which is why this is the first time I've sat in front of a microphone in a very long time. And I figured if I had enough, and it's hard to know what's enough because, you know, the world, as anybody with a mortgage at the moment will tell you, changes pretty rapidly. But I kind of thought if I had enough to house myself, meet all those, what's that scale of needs? If I could clothe myself, if I could educate my kids, and afford, little did I know, the medical care that would be required, you know, later in life as my eyes grew dim. But I figured I'd get out because I wasn't particularly liking the exposure.
Right. We should just point out to those who aren't familiar with Dougie Mulray that he was a hugely successful breakfast radio presenter.
And nude model.
That's right. Did you love that?
The nude modelling? No. My penis was too small.
I just like the way we have brought up male prostitution at this stage.
We brought up everything else.
Yes. No, this is about me, not about you.
Yes. Okay,
you egomaniac. He was popular, though.
But you see, it's fascinating, though, because when people get senior, they think about retirement. We've had a lot of people on this program who said we never want to retire, never want to have anything to do with it. But you actually went early, went hard, went early, and you haven't fallen over playing bowls at the age of 50. No. You've actually flourished.
Oh, no, I'm chronically depressed and seriously ill, so I wouldn't say that.
You look very, very well and happy.
No, I've had to stop drinking.
Wow.
Fatty liver.
Is that right?
Oh. Well, I'm waiting for the results to, you know. But, yeah.
Of that
that's
test.
That's what they were tested. Have you had that test?
No.
Well, I said, but you do the thing, don't you? You eat pretty well.
Me?
Yeah,
I do the thing. Yeah. And I live in the country now.
And you always have.
But listen, it's not about me. It's about you.
Oh.
Do you miss being young?
The legendary Angela Couture. It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, I probably miss mobility. I'm not very mobile.
Aren't you?
No. I had some spinal surgery. I had a hip replacement. And that makes me realise how bad the other one is. I'll probably have to have that done. But I did have a mate whose dad recently died at 100, and he'd had both hips and both knees and a pacemaker. And he said, "It's fantastic." He said, "You just go in there, you get a new part."
Yeah.
Never felt any better. But I hate the intrusion. I hate the, you know, how you become a number. You walk in a hospital door and they put on the bum crack revealing gown and you're number 232.
Yeah.
And then for hip replacement, I've seen the pictures. They suspend your leg hangs up there off a hook. You look like a butcher shop window circa 1935. God. You could picture the water running down the glass and the sawdust
chops,
on the floor.
9 and chops, 5.
And some laughing butcher who you just are sure is a serial killer when he's not looking after Mrs. Smith and a puppy who gets the bones on a Thursday.
So you've almost ticked all the boxes. You've had the hips. You've had all the other bits and pieces.
I'm just too hip. Baby, what happened to him? Western Australian.
Hip to be.
That was Huey Lewis.
Oh no, we don't talk about huge Huey.
I had dinner with Huey Lewis one night, and he was pissed off about the fact that Melissa Etheridge, was his opening act, and she'd got all the groupies.
He was
pissed off.
Yeah,
I said, just get over it, Huey.
Huge Huey. Yeah. Well, I'm very interested in what you just did then. You were anecdotal. Because I thought, I'll do some preparation. You know, I've got plenty of anecdotes. My kids, I start to say, well, back in the day, and they go, oh, Grandpa Simpson, was that back in a time when it was fashionable to wear an onion in your pocket? Yeah, but anecdotal is like, you know, you've got to be so careful with that. So I thought if there's three of us who are used to talking over everybody
Something will get said.
She's one of the few girls I know who can mansplain when she gets the bit between her teeth. It's cool.
That's right.
So could you answer this question? Do you listen to the radio these days?
I sometimes listen to Radio National. I sometimes listen to the local radio in 2BL 702. You know, I'm old.
Whatever they're calling it this week.
Whatever they're calling it this week. Yeah. I listen to that because I live in Sydney. I listen to it only when I'm driving. I never seek out the radio for entertainment or diversion. I listen to it to stop me from going to sleep when I'm driving to and from the farm.
Do you listen to podcasts?
No.
But you did.
Other than this one.
Yeah, I listen because I was coming. It's best forewarned is foreskinned, I always say. So I came in to see what you were up to and I enjoyed it. I mean, I thought there was some very funny stuff. Spallacci coming in.
Yeah, Spallacci.
You said,
great.
What was the upside of being older? And she said, I don't have to wear a bra anymore.
She's wearing overalls. Yeah, that was
I can relate to that.
What's the upside of aging for you, Dougie?
Can't see any, really.
No, really?
No.
No. Grandkids? Have you got grandkids?
No expectations, really. People just think you're a duffer. You know, you know.
But when they spend 5 minutes with you, they must realise after that period of time, hang on, right. There's something here, or they're right. Yeah, I guess that's right. Look, you've flourished. I've got to say, as a man who've known you for many years, you've retired, but you seem to have had the most fabulous retirement in the fact that you've become a guitarist,
a musician of your own. I play.
Yeah.
I watch these internet people. I mean, what a fantastic year to learn to play an instrument now when there's 8,000 brilliant people and probably 1% or 2% of them also pretty good teachers who are there dispensing wisdom. And you can sort of...
Online.
You can spend 5 years clumsily trying to work out how to get that thing going, and then they say, oh, don't even worry about that. You can just play that like this using a triad up here and it sounds just the same, and you don't have to distort your fingers and develop cramp working out how to do it. And you think, had somebody told me that back in the 60s, man.
Would you have been a muso?
No, because I mean, and my son and I argue about this, my younger son.
How old's he?
He's one of twins, 31.
Uh-huh.
My older son is 39, James. And we have a new son. We have a new son. Lizzie. Lizzie and I are still together.
Yes.
Oh, I think it's just, you know, it's easier that way, really. An atmosphere of mutual hostility.
Keeps things going, doesn't it?
When we got together, she told me that I should know that there was a child that she'd given up for adoption when she was very young. Yeah, and that, you know, who knows, because she told people she was quite prepared to have this child come back into her life, our lives, if we got together.
Yeah.
Would I be cool with that? And I said, darling, whatever. Whatever. Your child is my child. Which is interesting because, you know, I knew the father. It wasn't going to be easy. You remember Murph?
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. So at the ripe old age of 48, he finds his mum.
Isn't that amazing?
Our Keith.
Isn't that fantastic?
And he's got, you asked about grandchildren. I have a grand dog who is with us. Most of my children are not interested in reproducing at all. I think they've seen the family lineage, the propensity for decrepitude, joint collapse and depression. So they've said, oh, no, we wouldn't bring any more of these into the world. But Keith, of course, he's from a different gene pool.
Right.
And he's married to a beautiful girl and with two beautiful children. So we kind of got these instant grandchildren.
Perfect.
And they're gorgeous. Oh. Beautiful little girls.
How great.
Mazel tov.
Mazel tov.
Is there a softening, you think, and I don't want to use this just as an excuse for about 10 minutes of gags,
no, yes,
that
is.
Comes with getting older, whereas you are you are somebody who is just becoming such a lovely older man.
I was always old. I used to call myself old when I was young.
Were you always lovely?
I went through a phase where I would just tell people on the air, like the audience at large, that I loved them, and Liz said, you can't do that, it just sounds terrible. It sounds insincere. I said, well, it's not really. You know, I'm a person with a capacity for a great deal of love. You know, I like to think that what we disseminate is loving. You know, it's done. I'm very grateful for them loving what we do because that makes our lives possible. And, you know, and I'd say, I love you. And people walking down the street, they'd stop their car and roll down there and say, love you, Dougie. I'd say,
oh,
that's lovely. So
love you too. And Liz, the number of times Lizzie said to me, I don't believe this. They should all be vomiting. They should all be appalled. And you couldn't do it now. Here's another thing. That's another reason I'm glad I got out, because how anybody survives in the world of social media, I do not know. Mm. I mean, I look at what happened to Lee Sales and I'm interested. I'm reading Galbraith, the alter ego of J.K. Rowling's book at the moment. I mean, it's appalling, really. It's just, you know, endless, 1,000 pages, and because she's so powerful and makes so much money for publishers, they don't have the guts to tell her she should have taken 300 pages off for a start. But it's looking at that subculture, the bullying and the trolling, because, you know, she copped a lot of it. My daughter is said this woman is, you know, she's a dangerous fiend. And there are a lot of people who feel that.
Mm.
But, I mean, I also see a woman who was just singled out. And there's so much misinformation. I mean, we live in the age of Trump, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
We live in an age where we can have a prime minister who runs five ministries and nobody knows, except the governor general, but he doesn't feel obliged to tell anyone. I mean, you've got no idea, you know, who's up who and who hasn't paid, as we used to say. You probably can't say that anymore, can you?
Probably not.
Whether you're Arthur or Martha.
Whether you're Arthur or Martha.
How's that? So, can't say that either, because that's gender identification.
I can't get a word either.
No, it's okay. It's okay. This is what he's like.
Shut up. So, it's what he's like.
You want to run an interview program with someone who doesn't talk? I've seen that happen. I've seen that happen too.
No, darling, I'm loving it. Do you feel old?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
When did you realise you were suddenly senior then?
I don't think I sort of felt old until I started to be less mobile. That was the thing, you know. And the other clear sign was talking about medication.
Yeah.
Right.
Because I can remember my parents' conversation rather disturbingly becoming about, you know, their bowels quite a bit, stools.
And we're talking about stools. Either.
No, I've still got one of mum's
affirming, old stools. Affirming, we're back.
It's frightening to have one of your mum's old stools, isn't it? I still have, because it's perfect height for the guitar. She's a big eater. But they also talked about drugs.
Yeah.
In the same way we used to.
It was like Gottney.
Pharmaceutical, on first name basis with the chemist. Len, his name was, I remember.
Yeah. The chemist, yeah.
And
Len,
this generation used to take whatever they were told to take. Absolutely. They'd rattle some of the walking down the road.
Because you placed all your faith in the medical profession and chemists were just slightly down on that list of notables. Mm. And Len, he featured large in Mum and Dad's social, because as they became older and more limited in their movements, I mean, trips to the doctor was a social event. Mm. And I've also noticed that about myself. You know, I'd ring when I had...
Did you get dressed up?
Had a house, I had various things I was attending to, people who worked for me and with me. And, you know, you were busy, and it's breakfast, so you know you're up at 4 o'clock and you're doing the thing, and then desperate for a glass of wine at 2 o'clock, and then collapso about 10, and it all goes on again. And in the meantime, you've conducted and constructed an industry. But I would ring my mother and father. My dad had been a very busy lawyer, and my mum was a teacher. They had busy lives, and I'd ring them and say, "Look, I've got a thing on, you know, somebody's called, Angela Caterns is called, you know, it's very important that I talk to Angela, or even though I won't let her get a word in, it's important I talk at her, really." And Dad would say, mm-hmm. I'd say, "So I won't be able to get James from school this afternoon. Could you do that?" And he'd go, "Oh." And I'd say, "What is it?" He said, "Well, it's, you know, it's a bit late." I'd say, "Well, it's 9 o'clock. And he said, you know, I just got off the air, and he'd say, "Yes, but, you know, we've got to go to Dr. Lim's at 11. And I'd say, "Right. Well, it's only about 20 minutes from there." And he said, "We'd like to get there early, you know, so we can get a park near the gate, you know, so he can see the car. So we don't even have to, you know, we wouldn't want anyone to, you know.
Want him to know that we're in the area.
Kidnap him or anything." I'd say, "Fine." And then they'd have to pack some food, and, you know. I mean, really. And now, if I make an appointment to do more than one thing in a day, it's a bloody miracle.
Well, we watched you when you arrived here, or walk across the road.
I ran.
And seriously, we saw you run, and I thought, he's going to die. We're going to actually now watch Doug Mulray be run over in front of us. But, you know, the cab stopped in front and didn't take you out. And
he stopped it.
Yeah, there was a bit of honking and all that, but you did get across the road fine. So you're reasonably agile.
Nimble.
Why did the ageing radio broadcaster cross the road to get to talk over Angela Caterns? It's not very funny, but, you know, it's topical.
Very topical. It's very topical.
What do you look forward to, Doug?
I can't see anything through this microphone that Angela insists I pull in front of my face. Can't I have it off to this side?
No, you can't. Oh. Sorry, I'm watching the levels over there. Is there anything
She's
you
good.
Look forward to?
He's good. See, in the old, this is like the whole train dispute in New South Wales. You used to have a guard to do that.
Mm.
Yes, you know, exactly.
And now the driver does it all.
Do you look forward to anything? What do you look forward to? Stop it.
I want a woman who touches me when she talks. I want to see her eyes. She's tapping me on the knee when she talks to me, ladies and gentlemen. I don't care what you've read about her sexual predilections. She doesn't mind the old blokes. Well, that's the good thing about being an old bloke. You're not very threatening, really, are you?
Not at all.
No.
No. But anyway, do you look forward to sailing?
No, I just sold my boat.
Oh.
I was getting anxious about going down there. I didn't feel that I was strong enough anymore or perspicacious enough to navigate the storms of life and the storms that awaits one.
The literal
storms.
That await
one in the Tasman Sea.
Ah.
No, I did it for 20 years and it was sailing. Quite a big boat, yeah. Mm. Oh, no, I did that my whole life, but I owned a boat. I swore I never would because you sail.
I say.
I know.
Mm. Commodore Quaternes.
Commodore Quaternes. I had a hat. I could have given you the hat. I let it go with the boat. For my 60th birthday, my kids gave me the Admiral's jacket with the braid.
Oh, wow.
And the little buttons. And I kept the jackets, but I let the hat go.
Mm.
And the boat.
And the boat. And made the biggest mistake of my life. I sold it to a dear friend of mine, a keyboard player with our little band. The Disappointed Superannuants, by the way.
Is that the name of the band?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I told you I was pretty negative about the aging process. This Disappointed Superannuants, we're none of us very happy with the way our lives have turned out. But Nick...
How can you say that?
He said, I want that boat. He wasn't going to take no and he wasn't going to pay for it. So he put together a consortium of like-minded people. Mostly he'd introduced us to, we liked very much, but he'd met them, he'd done a lot of cruising around Australia, and they were many of them from Melbourne, and they put the money in, and there's like six or seven of them own the boat, and it now lives at Hamilton Island, and they've just raced in the big boat series, and it's a great thing. But I was getting to the point where I was getting on it to justify the expense of owning it and keeping it and maintaining it, and that's a dumb thing to do, you know. Really, I'd get anxious before we went out there, anxious that it wouldn't start, anxious that it would, then I'd have to take it out.
A big wind had come up.
So it wasn't one of those.
I had a couple of pretty scary moments.
Yeah, so it wasn't one of those fun things. You just go, I'm going to go boating today. The thought that went into it was almost too much.
Well, yeah, Well, it's a big. You know, Ange will tell you if you know, especially if you take the boat to sea, if you go somewhere, if you journey, you know, like it's a serious responsibility, not just to you but to others on the waterway. And you know, you've got to be two parts mechanic and two parts skipper, and you've got to be able to, you know, read weather, and you've got to be au fait with a lot of different skills. My kids over the years, and one of my dreams was that the kids would be able to do this with me. And, you know, I can remember James saying to me, you know, Dad, you know, it'd be great if I could take the boat out this week. And I'd say, well, you probably need to spend like 2 months on the boat with like learning where this turns on and that turns on. If you don't turn that on before you turn this on, then that'll fill with water and, you know, you'll suddenly find...
You're listening to Boat Talk here. Sorry, I'm suddenly seeing you. Two old salts talking about boats.
Reminds you of a time when it was fashionable to keep an onion in your pocket.
So has anything taken the place of sailing in your life these days? Do you have an activity or a sport?
Just music. I just play guitar night for day, yeah.
Do you play in public?
Not if I can help it.
Why not?
Because I'm not confident about it.
But you play with other people, so you've got a little band.
Well, we just play at home, yeah. So
right.
Nick, who bought the boat, and Lizzie, who... So you asked, are you a musician? And I said no, because, you know, you and I, the three of us, have spent a lot of time, you know...
With people.
Huey Lewis, for example, you know. Yeah. But I know what a good musician is.
Yeah.
So people say, you're a musician. I say, bitch. You know, I can play a bit, I can sing a bit, and I got a couple of mates with studios and I've recorded a few things and, you know, like it's great. But I mean, I don't seek fame. I loathe it and I don't want to pursue fortune. I mean, it's interesting why you do music. I mean, the real reason, you look at where popular music came from, you know, when they finally developed mobile recording technology, there are interesting documentaries on it and they go out to American cities. It really began there. And they say, you know, on the 14th of January in Louisville, Kentucky, there'll be an RCA mobile recording wagon. You know, if you can play or you'd like to play, we'll record you. And people travel for 5 days from the Appalachian Mountains, you know, on a mule. And they've got their kids
with their family.
That's right. Yeah. And they come down and all they've ever done before is play on the veranda. hoop-de-doo, they come down, they sings up a song, and they've been singing there with Bessie Lou and Bobby Joe, and they just think it's fantastic to put their voice on a piece of vinyl to keep for perpetuity. And then bingo, people start buying it, and it becomes an industry, and it's fucked without being kissed within 30 years, where it's all about the exploitation of artists and the creation of myths.
Suddenly we're at Spotify.
Yeah, so yeah. I'm kind of back to sitting on the porch with the people of like mind who
lovely.
May be great.
Lovely, there just are, noodling away.
There are two people we met who incidentally run Douglas Hanly Moir, which is kind of funny.
Mm.
You know, that I should be involved in industry so close to my heart, lungs, liver, spleen. Anyway,
yeah,
Roger's just passed, unfortunately, but those guys just loved music, and I met them through a couple of friends, and they got a little house in Balmain, and we'd go there, and there were people there. They were fantastic people, you know, legendary names. Backsliders and Captain Matchbox, Whoopi Van who play, and everyone would go like, wow. But then there'd be guys who were just learning, and there'd be guys like me who were somewhere in the middle who could do it but weren't ever going to hold an audience, you know.
But it's a nice community to be part of, though.
And everybody would play a song, and you'd have a beer and sausage. And that, to me, is where music really kicks ass, where it just is a medium for love and sharing. And
that's beautiful. And it keeps dementia at bay.
She really meant that.
It's I do. And it keeps dementia at bay. It keeps your brain engaged, which is what we want to do as we're aging.
Yeah, well, thank you for keeping mine engaged. I can see you winding up.
Yeah. We've been here for hours.
Thank you for keeping my mind engaged for the last hour. We can do it again and I won't interrupt you so much.
Of course you will.
For a minute. Bye-bye, darling. Thank you very much for coming in. It's been a delight.
It's been a pleasure, you know.
We love you.
And I love you too.
Please like and also subscribe.
Thank you for listening. I'm Angela Caterns.
I'm Ian Rogerson.
Leave a comment, as long as it's nice. If it's not,
that's right.
Fuck off.
Yes. See you next time, Ange.
Bye. And I want wine with my meds.